I want to talk about a couple of things council did last week.
Okay.
Having to do with the restrictions that you had on the appearance of some buildings. Basically a change, if you will, to the uniform code that you have for development of the city. Which brings up the theory, all it takes is one change in council to have a lot of stuff undone that's already been in place. Is there an answer for that as far as long-term planning is concerned?
Well, we did make some changes, but certainly when you have an addition of, you change one person act, you change the dynamics of the group. But in terms of bringing things forward, the policy that exists right now is that for like a future agenda item, you need four council members to say it's worthwhile doing. The reason we do that is in our last planning retreat back last June when we had the new council seated. We went through the strategic plan and did all of that kind of stuff, and we went through our own rules and regulations, and we said, well, you know, here's our plan of work for the year. We have cut the budget about $4 million. We eliminated 14 positions, and so we had less money, less staff to work with. So every time a council member says, gee, I'd like to study this, that's staff time to do the research and make the presentation. So we decided as a council that we would need four people because we put up our plan of work and we said, this is what we want to accomplish next year, and this is going to take full time for the employees we have. So if we're going to add something else, what do we have on that list that this new thing is more important than? So we decided that we would need a majority to put something on a future agenda item because of the staff time it takes to do the research and stuff and come back to council. So one member can make a difference just because of the group dynamics and the ability to convince other council members that whatever it is that they're proposing, when they make a reasonable argument with the facts to back it up, then other council members who may not have thought of it can say, wow, that sounds like a great idea. Let's take a look at that.
And again, not necessarily things that would cost the city money, maybe something that saves the city money, but it's interesting. Four is a pretty high number. I mean,
That was something this council imposed upon itself. So I would assume in June after the elections, the council would rodeo up again and go through the plan of work and the strategic plan and make sure that the things that we are planning to do are still what the council wants. And if there's a change and someone says, you know, four's too high a number, maybe we need to make it two or make it three, then that's something that the council agrees on.
Well, and it's interesting to bring it up. We talk about it now because, I mean, there is a situation where under the most dramatic circumstances, a council member who's only been on there for a little more than a year could end up being the senior member of the council.
Correct.
Which could really change the direction of the city from one direction or the other, right or left or however. The other thing you did is rejected the citywide wastewater and water impact fees. Now, if you will, a little history on that, because obviously this is something that developers have really not wanted. They thought that was negative growth. Or it would be negative toward growth. But on the other side, there are development needs. I mean, there is need for money for water and wastewater development in College Station, not only for new materials but existing projects, and the infrastructure has to be funded.
True enough. What has typically happened is a developer comes in and buys raw land and decides to make it a subdivision. The developer continues to put in all the infrastructure, puts in the roads, puts in the sewer, put in the lines, all of that stuff, and pays to hook up to the city lines.
Right.
That's typically what a developer does. Now, in some instances where the line that is now going to be needed, because it depends on the size of the development, you know, six houses isn't 60 houses or 600 houses. So depending upon the size of the development, the city might say, okay, because there's 600, the 4-inch line isn't going to work. We need an 8-inch line. So what the city will do in that circumstance will do what they call oversized participation. the developer's going to pay for the 4-inch line, and the city pays for the difference for that 8-inch line. So because we need it to be oversized to make sure that they have the appropriate flow, it's not something the developer needs just for that 600 houses or 20 houses or what have you. And then there's that oversized participation. But what we did last week was to continue our current system. We learned just the week before, and it was certainly new news to me as it was to everybody else, that they had done a study and that, you know, some of our infrastructure is nearing 60, 70 years old, and we're going to have to do a considerable amount of replacing of old pipes and the like for our wastewater system.
And this is quite honestly one of the first times that College Station's been confronted with having to upgrade infrastructure because it's a fairly young city.
Absolutely. But that doesn't negate the need for it,
yeah,
to be done.
Do.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh.
Exactly. And so that's probably something that we'll go out and, you know, do with bonds and stuff. So when we got the proposal on the impact fees, is if we adopted them and we adopted them on the maximum, the average utility customer would see, you know, maybe a 1 or 2% increase. If we didn't impose the impact fees, you know, they might see, you know, 4 or 5% increase. And in looking at the housing trends, we've got less housing starts this year, less housing sales. I mean, so the thought was, kind of let's not punch anybody while they're down. It's going to cost about $10,000 for an acre to impose this, and it wasn't like some of it wasn't going to be passed on to our citizens anyway. So that's, I think, the reason behind it.
Yeah.
Because we had just gotten this information the week before on the infrastructure needs.
Mayor Nancy Barrett joining us this morning. I don't want to get out in the weeds with numbers necessarily, but
good.
But I've kind of would like to get an idea as to, because I'd asked Jess Fields when he was in here last week. You mentioned real estate. The market is softer. The new starts are not there as they have been before. Have you seen projections, Jeff Kirsten and whoever, giving you some projections as to what property values are going to do? Because obviously the tax rate and the property tax rate and how much money that brings in is very crucial toward what kind of a budget that you can build. With the projections, what are we seeing in the next 3 to 5 years in College Station? What do you see that that indicates as far as how big that pot of money is going to be?
Great question. I don't have the answer. No, I know Mr. Kirsten is working on those numbers now. We have not yet seen them, so it is a great question. It's one we're all looking for. The answer, some of our numbers are down.
Do you anticipate when you're going to get a report from him? Because, I mean, that's an important thing to know.
Right. We will probably be getting it, I would think, within the next month, because the departments now are working to develop their budgets for the next year, to talk about their needs, that sort of thing.
Okay, what's on your radar screen this morning?
Oh, well, you know, we've been working on the biomedical corridor, you know, with the City of Bryan. We've been meeting weekly, Mayor Bienski, Mayor Pro Tem Horton, and Councilman Hughes, and myself, and Mayor Pro Tem Crompton. We've been meeting weekly to iron out a memorandum of understanding and interlocal agreement on the biomedical corridor, who's going to prepare, do what, and revenue sharing and the draft. And that will go to our council this coming week, which is our last council meeting with this particular council. City Charter Review started, they had their first meeting last week, so we're going to be looking at a number of things.
Well, that process is going to take about how long? When would you expect that they will come back to you?
Probably in a couple of months.
Okay.
There is a Senate bill that is talking about changing the uniform election dates. It's still in process, and that's probably going to determine some of the things that they're talking about. November elections, talking about May election's moving to April, and so that's still in flux. And so that will probably have an impact on exactly when we go. But assuming that things stay the same, easy for me to say. Yeah, this early in the morning. Anyway, we'll probably go to the voters by next May or as early as November. But the committee has just sort of gotten its charge, and I'm proud that we had a small committee, and, you know, that took a little bit of work because there are a lot of qualified people that wanted to be on it, but a smaller committee is going to be a lot more effective.
I agree. I would agree.
And so they're going to go through those things and bring them back to council. There'll be public hearings. There'll be a lot of input from our citizens, and then ultimately whatever the council and the charter committee review has to go to the public, and they have to approve it. So if it's on a really fast track, maybe November, but assuming we still have the uniform election date in May, that's probably when we would do it.
Okay, very good. Hey, thanks for the time. You got anything else?
I just want to tell you two things yesterday that I did that aren't really city business, but they're just really terrific, and that is I went to the Ribbon Cup cutting of World Fest yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just, it's getting bigger and better all the time, and it's just exciting, you know, to celebrate all the different cultures, and it started out of the international students, and it's just grown. We have so many of our citizens here in the community that were born elsewhere, and it's just a fabulous, family-friendly celebration. So that was neat, and then from there, I went to the College Station Hall of Fame, and the school district puts this on. And it's students write an essay and apply to honor an educator.
Oh, very good.
And, you know, you hear about someone whose second grade teacher made a difference. And these are seniors. And then, you know, they put together a booklet on 40 or some odd educators were honored. And they read maybe about 8 of the essays. Just fabulous. The impact that our teachers have on our students is just phenomenal.
Glad they're doing that.
It was. So those were two fun things that were happening. And
and you got to be there.
I got to be there. And the best thing that has happened to me all week, maybe in this year, is I am going to get to be a guest ringmaster at the circus on Saturday.
Really?
I am so stoked about that.
Wow. Now they got to dress you up and all that?
No, they told me to, you know, come casually dressed, but not in jeans. I'm just hoping I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, wow, welcome to the greatest show on earth.
Yeah, that'll be kind of fun.
I don't know what I'm going to get to do. I may just be standing in the corner next to an elephant. But I'm stoked about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That works
okay.
Fun. All right, good. Thanks. I appreciate the time this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks,
you bet. Nancy Berry, the mayor of College Station. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays on WTAW.